Welcome to North Beats from North Beach. I'm your host, Corey Luna, chatting with the people behind electronic music. And today, I spoke with... Price of Dill. And Price of Dill is a trio. There's Andre, Carol, and Eugene. We speak about how they came together, a little bit about the background on their musical... And we discuss their ambient sound, how they came together from these particular instructional classes, and how the energy flows through all three as they come together, and the structure and the ability to play freely a bit here and there within the structure that they've created within their electronic sound. A very ambient sound with some slight beats here and there. A lot of great improv that they've done that I've seen in a couple of the live shows that they've done. And before we get into the interview part, I'd like to mention we've got here in the Bay Area, we have Resonant Frequencies in Oakland, which is the first Sunday of the month, run by Density and Time, which anyone can go into, sign up to play on that day. And then in San Francisco, we have Resident on the second Tuesday of every month, run by Frank Martin and Emery Peterman. They always have a sign-up sheet on their Facebook page for Resident, where musicians can sign up. I would think they have about 6 slots per month, and they also have slots for video artists as well. And video artists are also at Resonant Frequencies. And then... on the third Wednesday of every month, we have Peaked, which is my friend Rich Hogben and I. We do a monthly show where we feature 2 artists a month. And we started it back in March, and we've been growing solidly. So please check out those wonderful live shows that we all love and appreciate. And also, if you have a chance, please go to my Patreon account, which is patreon.com/northbeats. Please donate $1 and help me fund this podcast to keep it live and strong. Also, if you ever see me around and within the Bay Area or wherever I travel, please come say hello, because I've always got some stickers for the podcast North Beats and stickers for Peaked on me as well. Now let's get into Price of Dill.
Tried a lot making music before I met you. So I used to, you know, like play, you know, Google course for known song online and just, you know, play that and sing. And I was kind of afraid of, you know, experimenting, and I was afraid that...
Not anymore.
You know, I was afraid that if I don't Google the correct chords, I will not play it right, you know? And I was not trusting my ear. And then when I started taking guitar lessons, then, you know, my teacher showed me the scales, improvising and stuff like that. And then that's where I really started enjoying, you know, playing with you and actually trying to make something new. But I think, our kind of background kind of explains how we approach music and what we're trying to achieve. Like, it's more... when we make music, I think it's more like jam sessions, or at least it starts originally like that. And I think very often we are drawn to like playing something live. So it can be finger drumming, it can be, you know, MPC live, it can be a physical keyboard connecting to synth with knobs, but we like the physical touch and being able to hear it instantly and experiment in that way, and then, you know, hearing what we like and then progressing from there, as opposed to, yeah, you know, clicking the mouse. Or I mean, we use sequencing, but
we try to avoid as much as possible timeline based composition.
Okay.
Like we basically like because we have been playing as a band, it's like for us it's more like we play as a like we like to play, so it's like we're more performance based. So we like the thing that we play on open mic, sometimes we can't repeat it.
Exactly.
It's really because it's like in the moment kind of in a way.
And we
I
also
mean, of course
do,
of course we prepare, but
we also do really long stretches, so we'll play for a really long time and we'll just keep getting different lines of rhythms and
yeah, so we basically like we are jam based. Like we jam in for a while. Like we jam for hours and after that kind of cut the best moments and kind of like more build on top of them.
Excellent.
And do like granular and all kinds of different types
which
of things.
Sometimes
too.
Can be kind of a problem because
it doesn't always go together.
We like jam and jam and then like oh we ended up in a completely different song. Let's come back to what we were making and how it's going to progress. And
yeah.
That's the hardest part, putting it together
that, yeah.
at the end.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful way of creating music is allowing yourself to be free and as I've heard in your band that you start in one place and you don't always end up in the same place. You actually really progress throughout that time that you're playing together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice. And I recognized that when I heard you at Resonant Frequencies, I think, was it last month? Was it, if it was that
I think
August?
It was 2 months ago, right?
Oh, yeah, because I was gone.
Yeah.
In the last
yeah.
July.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and that was a wonderful set you all played. That was really nice.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
And so I'm curious about how you start with your music. Is it where it comes from? Is it something that comes from the curtain meetups that you were doing? Or is it beyond that?
Yeah, it's pretty much we don't really have all of us, we come from very different backgrounds in terms of tastes of music. I am kind of leaning towards more like ambient or lo-fi hip hop or something like that. Like because I've been doing that for a while and I can finger drum that. But Carol is coming from a completely different background.
Yeah,
more
like Indian
lot. Hindustani classic. And Eugene also. So we basically combine those elements. Like, yeah. For example, Eugene is way, like Eugene and Carol, they're way better in creating more melodic stuff than me. But he
does like soundscapes and
but
yeah,
I,
really
I,
finely tuned. And he can always hear when the speaker's out anywhere in any room. Like, the speaker's out, what?
Yeah, so the, I can, but yeah, but I usually do more, like, I do more, like a drumming, like rhythmical stuff, and more sound design.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think we sometimes switch stuff up. Like, you also sometimes play synths, and, last time we kind of played with samples.
Yeah.
I think it's driven a lot by the new shiny thing that we learned or got, some hardware or something, or like often.
That's right.
And it's a little bit of a problem sometimes that we use almost every time with slightly different setup.
Mm-hmm.
So we started like iPad and then maybe laptop with Ableton, and then later I got OP1. I started using that.
Oh wow.
And then later
fun.
I got MPC Live. And then, Andrea got the push, and then
oh, cool.
He got back to, the laptop based more so.
Yeah. Are you aware of this term called GAS? GAS?
Gear
acquisition
no.
syndrome.
I did not know.
So it's basically
Eugene has it the worst.
Yeah, yeah. It's a gear acquisition syndrome. So
yeah.
The more gear you have, the more gear you want to buy.
Yes, that's true.
So that's kind of like we try to minimize our efforts in buying more gear, and basically stabilize and play the same way. So mostly two of our shows that we lost our shows, they were pretty stable. We use now the same set of
equipment. Yeah, lately we're
yeah.
we've been making more success.
Yeah, we're more successful in having the same setup. Yeah.
Does your so it sounds like a lot of your sets are mostly improvised, and none of your sets are ever the same. Is that correct, or is it changing?
Sort of.
We kind of improvise them, but I mean, we are after that. We remember the key parts, right? We remember the main things that we kind of like.
The switches,
right? We're
okay.
Like we may use different way of going from one place to another. They can be a little bit improvisational, but we remember the key points. It's like everybody is aware what should happen after.
So we start out really loose, and then we refine as we go, and then we get sort of a baseline of what we're going to do, and then there's a little freedom in what you can do within that.
Yeah, plus we have, like, places for solos, or places where we can twist the knobs a lot, and, like, but usually I think we, like, some people just, you know, improvise from complete scratch. They come to a gig and they just improvise. I don't think we do that. We try to have something in mind, and I mean, to me, I think the results are better when you at least have some structure or some melodies in mind or some chords, and you like played with it a little bit, you like got the feel for it, and you have some ideas of where you can go, maybe.
Yeah, so we have some percent, like, and we have some kind of like a percentage of freedom during the performance, but that it's limited.
But we start out with a lot of freedom, so we end up honing it from freedom, and then going a little bit more structured, and then having a little room for freedom. But it came from freedom in the first place, so it's still free-ish.
That's great. That's a great explanation. I love it. You know, a little structure, but a little freedom in between, so you can add little color and texture to it. It's really fabulous.
And sometimes during performance, something goes wrong. You know, somebody presses the wrong button or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's good. Then we can adapt. You know.
Yes.
Right. We're good at like improvising.
Because we can immediately switch to the improvisational mode and just play as like go, like, you know, from the But
that's the benefit of having the longevity of playing together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we play together pretty well. Yeah, that's true. And another thing that we also have always some open couple of minutes for solos.
Okay.
So everybody can kind of like participate in a solo if they want. Eugene is usually our solo maker.
Sometimes just like everybody's twisting knobs or doing something, or you finger drum and you have lots of, you know, various samples you can trigger at any time, and it's kind of improvising, right?
It's kind of improvising.
How did Price of Dill, when would you say you really became a band?
2 years?
Yeah, I mean...
2 years ago?
About 2 years ago, probably.
No idea.
Maybe three, right?
No, not three.
Two or three.
Yeah, basically when we started to play, like, we played ambient... we started to play, like, actually an ambient kind of electronic set in the Yoga Society. That was our kind of first more electronic.
Mm.
They were helping me with the meditation. I do healing, and they did a meditation for me.
Yeah, there was basically, Carol was like a kind of like a guided meditation with the voice, and we were like playing as a background. And it was basically ambient-based kind of experience.
That's excellent. I think that's a wonderful idea, and something that I've been actually very curious about doing is performing for yoga. Now, obviously, it's you started doing, you know, probably performing with acoustic instruments and went into electronic instruments from there. Were you actually using electronic music with yoga at all?
It wasn't yoga. It was in the place where I was doing the fire ceremony and everything. So we just had people lay down. So it was kind of like a sound bath. Sort of.
Yeah, it was not really active, kind of. It was more like a passive experience. But you can do probably similar experience with the yoga if you want. Yeah,
I think
But we never did that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you know, when on festivals that happens a lot is that, like, when the yoga flow is happening, right? Some kind of teachers, they teach yoga. So usually there are some musicians with acoustic guitars or something who play, like, a little bit to give a little bit of feeling of, like, a real music to it. So I can imagine that that's possible to repeat with the electronic as well. But in the same time, it's important to probably keep it as a background feeling. Because like the main lead voice, right, the teacher, yoga teacher, or the meditation teacher should be kind of the main thing.
All right.
That's at least in my opinion. Yeah. Because otherwise, can also So it's usually the MBNT, some kind of thing.
That's very nice. And are you still performing for these experiences as well, or has Price of Dill become more of the electronic scene performance?
Well, we do the open mic there. We haven't done the project at the Yoga Society lately. We could do it again. It just hasn't come up that I was doing those meditations recently. We kind of all went on vacations in different parts of the world. I went to India and they both went to Ukraine, so we were kind of separated for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, we can basically, yeah, I mean, we didn't do that particular type of show for a while, but nothing prevents us from doing that again.
That's good.
Yeah.
Over the past 2 years, has Price of Dill worked on putting together any album at all?
Well, that's Eugene can talk a little bit about that.
Can I? Well, I mean, I think we often have trouble actually like recording proper finished songs. Yeah, like we often have jams and they go into different in different directions. We play we prepare a lot for the resonant frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good actually the resident, that's the San Francisco one, right?
Yeah, resident is in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Resonant frequencies is in Oakland. Have you played both or just the one?
No. We played only one.
Only the resident. But like it's such a cool event and it's so good that it exists. And
sure.
I think, you know, for us, it's very cool to be able to, you know, make some music and perform, and there are some visuals. It's awesome.
Sure.
Another thing that we're doing is we're just trying to record Instagram videos, because, I mean, we've been watching some, like, motivational videos from musicians on, you know, how to be a good musician. And often there's the same advice everywhere, which is try to not make like one perfect thing, but instead try to do like more often finished things. Doesn't matter if they're like perfect or if they're small or large, but you know, try to make it a habit of making some finished things. So when I think we activated a lot when there was the Jamuary on Instagram, where,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, we didn't, ideally you should post every day, we didn't, but it still gave us a lot of motivation of like recording short 1 minute Instagram videos. It doesn't have to be like super polished, doesn't have to be ideal, but you are, you know, actually working on something finished that you can put out, and I think that's been good.
Yeah, so if you're not aware, so the Jamuary, it's a kind of like organized little kind of jam every day thing in Instagram, led by famous YouTuber Kuko.
Oh.
So he has organized that every January. That's why it's called Jamuary.
Yes.
Is it actually organized by him?
Yeah, it's organized by him. And he has a special, he usually announces a hashtag that everybody's supposed to use.
Mm-hmm.
And people just post videos there, and people like vote for each other, and that's how
that's
it happens.
That's been nice.
Yeah, it's cool to participate, and it's a nice opportunity to kind of show your music and also see what other people are doing.
Absolutely.
And he's a character too, so we enjoy watching.
yeah.
And I think Instagram is pretty cool in terms of community. Like people
yes.
are supportive, and you know they leave comments and likes, even if you're not like, I don't know, super professional musician on the, you know, that everybody knows you, still people, you know, participate in the community. I think it's better, like you can post on YouTube and unless your channel is really known, nobody will, you know,
really
see your
see
video
it.
And interact with it that much, I think. And Instagram,
mm-hmm.
I think, is a little bit better in this.
Yeah, that's true. So basically we of course we have a plan for kind of an album.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been pretty slow about that one. So we'll try our best to have some kind of EP or an album, like a set of finished stuff. And yeah, so that's the plan. Hopefully it will become a reality.
I'm looking forward to seeing that come to fruition. Now, something that I noticed when I was doing some research on you is that it was a little hard, besides seeing you on YouTube and Instagram, there's not much other presence. I was thinking, do you have anything on Bandcamp or anything elsewhere?
I think we're pretty bad at that.
SoundCloud. Doing something on SoundCloud.
Yeah, but that's mostly like a
our personal
small account, personal account.
So I have like my personal account, and I think I created one for Price of Deal. There's like one recording from a from open mic. I think there. I think we're. This is something where I think we should improve, which is sticking to one name, and making sure that we have presence online and people can find us and can find other places. Sometimes we also post on Splice. Have you heard of Splice?
I don't know Splice.
So that's basically. This is a site where you can share your DAW projects, basically.
Really?
Yeah. And it has a very cool app that synchronizes everything. So you basically choose a folder, it works like Dropbox, basically.
Oh, all right.
But it understands that you have a song with these tracks, and it shows it visually. You can upload a preview, and other people can download, and they can, if you allow it, you can make it public. And other people can like remix it or work with you, that's another place where we sometimes post stuff. But yeah,
now that you've explained it, actually one friend of mine, my friend Jeremy Cotta, mentioned that to me. He's actually been studying music engineering and design at a City College over the past couple of years, and that's something that he brought to my attention, although I haven't taken the time to really dive into it at all. But that's pretty neat. That's a really unique idea of being able to put your music out there in a DAW for other musicians to work on.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty neat.
And you're able to look at other people, how did they make their music? Sometimes you don't have that DAW or the plugins, but
right.
Still,
it's valuable.
A lot of
it sounds like a good learning tool where you see what other musicians are doing with their music and how they do their structure and their DAW, because everybody is going to know a little bit more or a little less than someone else, and there's going to be different tricks that people are using that you might not.
Yeah,
that's true. Also, it provides a version control, which is important. So you remember, you basically have every version of your song saved, so you can go back.
Yeah, it's so good, and especially if there are several people that are working on the same project. You know, I have my laptop. Andy has his laptop, and he can work on something at home, send me, and I can add something, then he sees that as a change, and
you add it on top of that, or
it. And it's so much more convenient than sending something on
simple file exchange via email.
Yeah, I'm still in the whole thing of I have one partner, my friend Lenny Hammaker. He and I do a little thing together called Imitation Growth, and I'll send him things via Dropbox usually. And he'll usually just text me things.
Yeah.
Not the best way, but it sounds like Splice is the way to go for long distance collaborations.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's exactly what they kind of hoping for as a main use case.
Yeah, and it's unlimited space and free.
Yeah, I mean,
and
unlimited
free.
Space,
which
gives you a backup of your project.
Yeah, it's not the only thing they do. They also have the library of samples, which is subscription based. So that's how they make money. They also sell plugins. You can buy Serum that way, for example. Serum, the plugin.
It's a famous VST.
Yeah, famous
okay.
VST.
I haven't tried it myself.
You can buy it not as one lump sum of money, but it's a monthly rent to own, I think it's called. So
okay.
You pay a small amount of money, and once you accumulated the price of the plugin,
it's
you
yours.
Own it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's
so,
very nice.
Yeah.
Something also I noticed on the Instagram account were some of your videos actually have some video design in there. Is that something that you're all working on together?
No,
that's me.
That's it.
That's
yeah.
Sometimes it's me.
Yeah,
the candles and the crystals and the
sometimes
the
candles and the crystals.
Balls.
The singing
balls.
That's usually below. But in terms of electronic videos, that's my my experiments.
Okay.
All the shapes.
That thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's kind of it's fun just to try.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fun to kind of add a little bit more of the feeling or taste into the video, so it doesn't look just as a video, right?
Do you think it probably adds to the atmosphere of the music.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully it adds.
Yeah, I think so. And it's actually an interesting kind of topic of maybe we have material, but how do we present it for a video? Like, how do we actually show something that we're performing? You know, Andrew often tells me that, you know, I may record some samples and loops, and then I don't have a lot to actually show when playing, you know? And you have you have to actually think of, you know, how do you display that in an interesting way other than hitting, you know, play and switching, you know, scenes?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, another thing about the, like, when we jam, we usually have, like, a projector on the wall, which shows a lot of, like, VJ stuff.
Okay.
Like, it kind of gives a little bit of atmosphere for a jamming. We have, like, a couple of TVs also. It's like this.
Usually kombucha is a part of the mix.
Yeah, so basically it's kind of like our ritual.
All our secrets.
We bring like, we like one brand of kombucha with caffeine. So we bring that kind of thing. And we, like, turn on the TV with VJ stuff and projector with VJ stuff and turn off the lights, and like that's how we kind of like, and those like candles and crystals and stuff. That's how we play to make a little bit more atmospheric and enjoyable.
So that's a way of putting yourselves as a group into an atmosphere to create music.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
That's what.
And this is how you practice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's fascinating. I like that. And it's one to do, you know, to play something like Resident, where there's, you know, a video artist, you know, doing projections, or even at Resident Frequencies, which do also, you know, video projections, but then to have it in your own practice space where you know, are maybe doing something a little bit more rudimentary, but you're creating that atmosphere.
Then you're ready when it actually comes down.
Yeah.
This doesn't throw you off.
That's true. Yeah. Because you're always there.
Yeah, we didn't actually try like actual video synthesis look live. But we usually just, you know, turn on a video. But
yeah, we like this kind of like a classic like fractal or psi design videos. Like, you can easily Google them. Yeah, they are usually a couple of hours long.
I think I've done the same thing once or twice.
Yeah.
No, they're actually wonderful to put on and inspirational, because I've, you know, done the same thing where I put them on either to play to it or to be inspired by it, just to see it, you know, and then maybe try to do something else creatively. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great idea and very wonderful way to put yourself into that creative atmosphere, is created visually for yourself before you start playing into it.
Yeah.
And has with your music, has that changed compared to, say, in the practice studio to performing live? Would you say that there is maybe a contrast of the atmosphere between, you know, practice space and a live performance?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're a lot more playful at home, you know,
yes,
and a little bit more serious when we're live. Because
we're
paying more attention and trying to
focused. We're way more permissive when we play at home.
Yeah, as we said, we like, when we make music, we jam a lot, and then we try to organize it a little bit and have a certain structure when we play live, so.
Yeah,
but
so
sometimes it gets really wild when we're just going for it and freestyling. So sometimes that's more fun, in a way, because it's like you're really out there and just catching the vibe of the other person, and it creates a soundscape of just where you can get lost and pick up on a line of somebody else, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, it's also important to kind of like to have feel the playability of other people. Like, so sometimes you can jam with people, but you don't really, how to say, you're very far, like in terms of like musical tastes or like feeling each other. Right.
Sure. Not every musician can play with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a while to play with different people to see if you will meld together. And it seems like all three of you work together very well.
Yeah, for us it's like we've been playing together for a while, so it's easy for us to kind of blend into this.
And we're also not critical of each other. We really work together. We don't like get upset with each other really. We just kind of we work around it. And if somebody doesn't want something, we just kind of talk about it and switch what we're doing and, you know, let's do this other thing and okay, cool.
That's really it's really nice to have.
Yeah. Nobody's too connected to their
thing. Yeah, it should be. It's an art, right? It should
like,
be.
Let's not do voice right now. Okay, no problem. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I see this, first of all, as a kind of like a pleasure of the art form, right? So it should be an enjoyable experience for everybody, which means no judgment and like permissive culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a very nice culture to have. And with Price of Dill, where have you thought about taking it beyond the Bay Area?
Well,
we just talked about it, but
have you? You didn't tell me.
Well, you were late.
You know what's the kind of like a really fascinating thing about like how the musical process comes to us, that we have more gigs to play than music to play.
Is that true?
Which usually people have opposite problem, but we have more places to play. I mean, we like here and there we can grab a spot in the festivals, you know, or like play open mic and so on. Like if we would have more material, we will play every open mic, but we don't.
Okay.
Because we don't have enough material to play. Like we need like to more material, like for example Carol has a lot of kind of connections to the festival people in Southern California. So it's possible to organize a gig here and there, or even grab a spot at one of the smaller festivals.
So I'm playing up in I'm not playing, I'm presenting as a healer in Mount Shasta coming up in the end of the month, in end of September. And so then I meet these people that are the organizers and say, hey, I have a band too, by the way. So sometimes that can happen, you know. This
yes.
time they weren't sure if they're going to do music, so I didn't really push it because it was my first time working with this person, but maybe next year.
Yeah, but
so.
I mean, there is always an opportunity. So I mean, it's like you can definitely, if you have a lot of good material, it's possible to. And always, I think the festival culture is such a big thing in California that if you have a nice, kind of, let's put it this way, like a chill camp, right, or ambient camp, there is always a spot for you, I think.
Mm.
It's just a matter of, like, working on it, organize it, like, put some effort, put some money, definitely. But there is always, I think, an opportunity to play some nice, like, chill ambient or, like, something like that. At least that's my perspective. That's what I see from the festival culture. And we've been to festivals a lot.
Yeah.
Like even too much, I would say. Sometimes. Yeah, but.
And sometimes even before an event, you know, like somebody's coming to speak or there's somebody coming through and they just need something to kind of fill the moment while everybody's coming in. And, you know, there's those kind of opportunities too. But
yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's possible to bring it out of Bay Area, but it's time to work on the music and work a lot. Like way more high quality material. Yeah, that's important. Because,
yeah.
You know, playing something that's kind of not really acceptable, right? You want to do your best. Especially if you have an audience of, you know, on a festival or in a yoga event.
Seriously, what are the variety of festivals you've been playing?
Yeah, I mean, we usually, like, there is a lot of, like, this related to Kirtan festivals, kind of in Southern California. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, like...
We did more playing live when we were the Kirtan band than we have since we've turned electronic.
That's
so
right.
So we did
true,
a lot
yeah.
more. We did IYI, it's a yoga place that has Kirtan. We played over there. We played at the PCC in Santa Cruz and so places like that, mostly yoga places.
Yeah. So it was mostly like we didn't play like a full blown gig on a transformational festival, but I think it's possible.
Yeah, I feel like Bay Area is a very good place for, you know, finding gigs and stuff. Like,
yeah, that's pretty.
Even if you are not like super professional, I feel like you can find places to play your music.
I think so. You know, I was curious, have you thought about looking into Marin County at all?
I have been, because I was just helping somebody with a tour that they were doing. Somebody's coming from out of the country, and I was helping for a different type of an event type thing, and more like yogic. Mm-hmm. And so I found a whole bunch of cool gems. I haven't been able to even talk to these guys about it yet, but
yeah, I'm from that area originally, and so my mother used to do belly dancing in a lot of areas around Marin County, so I'm pretty familiar with the culture out there, and I think that would work very well. Your sound would work very well out there.
Wow, tell us.
specifically, probably like Fairfax and San Rafael.
Oh yeah, Fairfax is nice.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, one of those places that really
is
opened up.
Or...
Oh, Sebastopol would be nice. Sonoma County, yes. Excuse me. Tell me, please feel free to elaborate a little bit more on Price of Dill, and tell me how'd you come to that band name?
It was a long list.
Tell me the list.
We had a long list of ideas, and that was kind of, I don't know.
What did we?
It was several days worth of trying
to
come up with
a name.
I have no idea. I don't remember.
We had to have probably the Instagram account.
I remember we were like, it was one day when we were like starting, like just coming up with the name, and
we had lots of
Price of Dill.
I think Eugene got really frustrated. He's like, so let's just call it Price of Dill.
so once we started making music, you know, it's, I haven't had this issue before. Like, yeah, how do you name your songs? How do you name your band? And it's hard to come up with stuff. So sometimes if I like see something somewhere or it comes to my head, I started writing it down on my whiteboard. And I don't remember why, but it was written down there, Price of Dill.
I kind of like it.
It's definitely a unique band name.
Yeah.
It does stand out.
Yeah. By the way, in terms of like, I was working also a little bit as a kind of like a helper, more like a technical helper on one more project in internet called PsyBeyond.org. It's kind of like a pretty big scene of like a mix of the Psy music and ambient music. I know a founder who is a very good musician. He's, by the way, performing at Burning Man this year.
Oh, fantastic.
I met him in San Francisco recently. And I was contributing to the project a little bit more, mostly like technically. And that's another like a great resource to see. There is like a calendar there, and you can go and see there's a lot of nice events all over the world, and including in California. So if you are curious about the festival culture, that's a great spot to take a look.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That sounds really great. Who was it? It was one of the other local artists down in San Jose. His music was just featured for Burning Man. I forget. Yeah, I think it was maybe one, a DJ friend of his decided to play one of his songs. I can't remember his name at the moment. I'll remember in a minute. Sorry about that. But I think the whole idea of playing festivals and the variety of festivals that are out there that your music could fit into, I think, is something that is that could really grow. For what you're doing,
yeah, and there is always an opportunity even to organize a little event here. I mean, usually the venues are pretty open for like some chill ambient or acoustic ambient music. It's possible to do it. I mean, it's a matter of organization, really, of effort and organization of it, but. There are venues and they can do it, and people are pretty open in San Francisco for a chill in general.
Do you think that a lot of the venues that go for that type of sound are interested in the energy from ambient music?
For sure.
Exactly, yeah. And they usually want just to bring more people, you know, like a tea houses or like yoga studios. And they're usually into the chill sound. And they're okay to bring more people, so people will be more aware of their venue. So people will, if people come in, for example, for the yoga studio, they will come for the event just to, you know, listen to some ambient and just chill after, you know, after some, you know, working hours. They will, after that, they will be aware of the spot and they can buy a yoga class. So I mean, they see it as an opportunity of promotion, because they always, it's nice to have. So, or like, I don't know, for example, in, you know, it's a like a little tea house, Beloved, you know, on 24th Street. And the friend of mine, he was playing a sitar there a couple of times, just to create atmosphere and people come, you know, to listen to something.
That brought
like
people
that.
In.
That's yeah, they nice. Brought people in. So, I mean, that's an, always an opportunity for that kind of a sound. And people intuit because people after, you know, sometimes you want to go and like, you know, hang out in a big club, you know, with the big sound. But sometimes you just want to lay down and, you know, drink some tea and listen to some nice ambient.
I'm the one to ask that question too because of the
yes.
energy healing part. I'm really clairsentient, so I really feel music more than I hear it. I feel it as much as I hear it. And I love playing with these guys when they're with me, when I'm doing a guided meditation and they're there, they really set that vibration. And then I can put my healing on top of that vibration and it really dials it in. Like it helps me to heal, to hear music actually. And definitely it sets that tone of vibration for sure.
Yeah, so I mean, I would personally love to see more events, like chill events like this in San Francisco. I think it's not enough. Sometimes you just
yeah.
want to go, like, I don't know, not have it, like, just chill a little, right? I mean, and it's kind of like a limited opportunities usually. Of course, you can always on Friday night or wherever go to Midway, right? Or a bigger,
yes.
or a bigger venue, but that's not always the case.
Right.
Yeah.
I was curious with the energy and performing. Has there been a space, whether it be that's been a better area to channel the energy, whether it be inside or outside? Has there been a particular experience from a performance?
We actually wanted on this Labor Day weekend. We wanted to go somewhere, like get a cabin somewhere and just play somewhere in the nature. But we have we've played kind of kirtan music outside, but usually I think it's just easier to, you know, go home.
Yeah, and also electricity availability.
I like the acoustics in my office building. Like
yeah.
I'm in one of those old office buildings that has a really high ceilings and it's all marble floors.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
And if you just like sing up into it, it's like what keeps going. And then when you walk out, all of a sudden it's like, oh, like hit a wall because it stops vibrating. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely fun to play outside, but it's usually harder to organize. So,
right.
Yeah.
You know, because there are, you know, for example, there's things like Mantra on the Spot, which are not necessarily in San Francisco, but rather like more like LA or Portland, Washington have those sorts of things where a lot of those events are happening in a park, in a public park.
Nice.
Where you're playing to, you know, like-minded people who want to hear similar types of music, and then they're mostly always electronic music. Some of them are modular, some of them are a bit more standard styles. And I was curious if you have been, you know, as you said, maybe doing a cabin, you know, just to get away and work, or you're, you know, in kind of that isolation of nature. Is that something that, as you've talked about, is there a particular experience that where you've had a very positive experience that's coming from the atmosphere of where you're playing?
Well, we played, were you there with us? We were playing the kirtan. We were actually getting ready for the PCC and we went to go practice. And so we went down by the, what's that, Arches Beach there, where there's that little arch. I don't know the name of the beach. I think it's called, I forget the name of the beach, but we just went down by the beach and there was a grass area and we sat on logs and just played. And sometimes we hike up in nature and go take a hike somewhere and bring our instruments.
I think the first video of me and Andre ever playing together is in Golden Gate Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
It was a fun video. Like I was playing the percussion and Eugene was playing the guitar.
You were playing flute and I was playing guitar.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah.
right. Yeah, I was playing flute. Yeah, and we yeah that was fun in Golden Gate Park.
That's excellent. And that was something that, you know, from being in that atmosphere, you're able to get, you know, a type of energy that channeled the music.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely changes your perspective of how you see all of this. Yeah, I mean, and also you hear differently, right? The thing is how you, like, the way how you hear the acoustic instrument, hey, from the perspective of headphones and how you hear nature, it's two different things.
Yeah. And also if you're playing by water and there's a stream going by and there's
birds.
Trees that are fluttering in
birds.
The air and the birds.
Yeah.
Frogs.
Frogs.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably try actually playing. I mean, like, the laptop can work for a while on, you know, on the juice, on the battery. I have MPC Live and OP1 that are, you know, have batteries. You know, as long as we have some speakers, I mean, if we get some speakers, then, yeah.
Yeah. We need a little bit.
Neighbors would be happier.
For sure.
Well, that's really great. Well, so you've done about almost an hour. That's pretty fast. is there anything you would like to add that I didn't catch today or didn't ask about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we are usually pretty open for like collaborating with other people. Like if people are feeling that they are kind of like into the sound that we produce and feel like encouraged to kind of like have a little jam with us, we're usually pretty open for that one.
Yeah, has that happened a little bit?
Yeah, we've been like lately I invited a friend of mine from South Bay. He was playing for a while in a different bands. He's like a long term musician. And we were playing a little bit of reggae.
it was so fun.
Yeah, and so that was kind of like...
And it was total improv, just like, hey, let's make up a song. And I just started playing
and singing, and then they just joined in.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we have a singer, right? We have a bass, and yeah, that's enough for us to play as a full band. So yeah, we played a little bit that one. And yeah, we're usually pretty open and kind of in terms of like join somebody or invite somebody to play with us. It may not be like producing something, but just, you know, as a usual kind of open collaboration to have fun together, why not?
That's fantastic. I think it's really nice that you're able to jam with other people just kind of periodically and come up with a nice reggae a little bit. So nice.
Yeah.
It keeps the channels open, you know. I mean, when you play together, we play differently all the time, but still, it's like a kind of a known thing. And then you bring in another person, and it kind of opens it up a little bit to a different vibe.
Yeah, absolutely does.
Yeah, and I want to just say thank you for having this podcast, for organizing Peaked.
Thank you.
Like, to me, it's amazing that people are organizing events like Peaked or, you know, the open mics, and that they're free and, you know, they help new people or, you know, established musicians. It's very cool to just have, like, platforms like this or events like this.
Oh, thank you. It's something that, as a musician myself, I saw something that I wanted to do for the community to help encourage and get the sound out for everybody. The community's been really nice to me and very open, and something that one of our fellow musicians, Carson Stelly, said was that when one of us succeeds, all of us succeed. And that really resonated when he told me that at last month's peak. He mentioned that, and it was something that he was spot on about, that when we all have an opportunity, we all support each other. And it really makes a difference to our community. Nope.
Yeah, and I think it kind of forms the community. Like, otherwise it would be kind of people separately doing their thing. And now, like, we've met so many people on these open mics and these events. I think it's awesome.
And everybody has their own gifts. Sometimes you need the, like, way out there freestyle. Sometimes you need the, like, fine-tuned ear. Or sometimes you need, like, the big lungs or, you know, whatever it is, whatever you got.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much.
Andrew, Carol, Eugene, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to hearing more of Price of Dill.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Yeah.